That's an interesting exercise. How about, if you feel comfortable, talk to the person next to you about how you reacted when I said, now feel free to put that up, thanks Matt, when I uttered those words just before, and even as you see that slide again, share with the person next to you your reaction to the fact that we are spending 7 weeks talking about the person and power of the Holy Spirit. Take a few minutes to do that. That would be great. Does anyone want to be so bold as to shout out their reactions, or if you're coward, the reaction of the person next to you? Warmth. You're looking at the picture, aren't you, Chris? No, I'm kidding. Yes, thank you. I don't want to belittle that. Warmth. Others? Other reactions? Exciting. Nice picture. Yes, you can compliment Craig Barker on that. Other things? You'd like to be here for the next... Well, that's a good thing. Good on you, good. Any other reactions? The Holy Spirit is the advocate. Grace. John 14. The go-between God. Yep. If you're feeling suspicious or apprehensive, that's okay too. Anyone else want to share about their reactions to this? All right. Good.
I must start off by saying, if you'd told me even 5 years ago that I'd be getting up and preaching this sermon series, I would have thought you were crazy. Would not have believed it. This is the sermon series I never thought I'd preach. Let me try and explain why. I want to try and tell a little of my story, which I hope will validate some of your story, which I expect that there might be some similarities and commonalities in it. And I also hope that in sharing, I will raise the common questions and misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. So basically, like a lot of you maybe, I grew up in a Christian home and I didn't really know who the Holy Spirit was exactly. Like, I knew God the Father was good, I knew Jesus the Son was great. The Holy Spirit, it's not that I didn't believe in Him, but He was a little bit fuzzy, a little bit under-understood, not misunderstood, but just under-understood. Indeed, I had my first experience of what someone called the Holy Spirit when I was about 16, I'm not even 15, at a Chinese Pentecostal church camp. And it was something else. Like, it was this full-on experience of people up the front doing massive hand-raising stuff that I'd never seen before, jumping up and down, talking in what sounded like other languages, getting all kind of intense, and I was just a little puzzled and a bit uncomfortable, I must say. They were lovely, warm people, but it's like overnight they switched to this kind of manic religious fervour mode, and I didn't quite know what to make of it. So I stood there in this meeting, at this night session, this Chinese Pentecostal church camp, and felt very out of place, so as a teenager does. Teenagers like to try and fit in, so I just tried to copy what was going on around me. And I was, at the time, I was reading a book by Morris West. Who's heard of Morris West? He's an author, he has a lot of people. I think he has a book, I think the title is The Salamander, something to that effect. Anyway, I'd been reading this book and I heard these people around me speaking in tongues. What I later thought was speaking in tongues, I was told was speaking in tongues. It was just kind of a lot of babbling as far as I was concerned. And there wasn't kind of anyone giving any direction about this. Everyone's doing their own babbling. And so I'd heard this about this salamander book that I was reading. So I just thought I'd just copy that as a salamander, 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 like this, over and over and over again. And I just kept doing that and doing that and doing that. And as I kept saying it, some guy who was leading the camp came up to me and he said, I want to hear you talk. Have you been baptized in the Spirit? Are you a real Christian? Let me hear you talk. Have you been speaking in tongues? And so I kind of did my, you know, salamana, 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 salamana thing again. And he said, yes, I believe you've been baptized in the Spirit. You are speaking in tongues. That is evidence you're a Christian. Here, read this. It was just like a little booklet that tried to convince me that speaking in tongues was the real evidence for being a Christian and had all these different scriptures, and I was like, even at that young age, I thought, this isn't quite right. Something off about this. And then, you know, being in the meeting and seeing all the spectacle and the palaver going on, I thought, if this is the Holy Spirit, because that's who they were talking about the whole time, if this is the Holy Spirit at work, I don't really sure I want to know it. That was confirmed a couple of years later when I went to a church. I was a Bible college at this stage, so I kind of thought I knew what I knew, you know. And went along to this church where someone was speaking, and she said she was speaking the Holy Spirit's words. But then I had the Bible in front of me, and it wasn't matching up. And I thought, this isn't right. I don't agree with you there. I don't agree with you there. That isn't right. And yet she was saying she was speaking from the Holy Spirit. And I went away very angry, very upset. I just felt very much, again, if this is the Holy Spirit, I don't want anything to do with Him. That was confirmed again when I went to Bible college a couple of weeks later, I think it was, and I heard my very esteemed, very admired lecturer say to me and to the rest of the group, now look, in the Bible, if it says anything about the gift of prophecy, it's about preaching. None of this spectacular, funny, charismatic stuff. It's just about preaching. The gift of the Holy Spirit and prophecy is just about preaching, preaching. I was like, phew, great. I'm glad I don't have to open that can of worms again. Gosh, I'm very glad, I'm very comfortable now, I felt very comfortable in my position that the Holy Spirit basically was in the Bible and that was it, end of story. And then, to my shock and horror, my wife-to-be decided to go to a Pentecostal Bible college. Betrayal! Camille's, I have permission to tell this story, of course, we're not airing our dirty laundry here. It's okay, we've dealt with this, we've worked it through. But here Camille was agreeing to go along to this Pentecostal Bible college. I could not believe it. Indeed, I went along to the interview where she was doing her application just to suss out her lecturer, because she was taking up a subject called the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I felt absolutely betrayed. And I was kind of scanning the bookshelves in his office going, oh, that's a dodgy author. Oh, if he reads that guy, oh, stuff him. Oh, no, all these different arrogant thoughts. And it created a real argument base in our relationship, real conflict, real emotional trauma. I don't want you to hear that I'm trivialising. It was actually really quite a difficult time in our relationship where the Holy Spirit became a fault line. And then, in 2006, everything changed for me. I bet you're expecting me to say, I heard God's voice. No, I didn't. I didn't. I read the Bible. So I heard God's voice. Let me explain a bit more of that. So I was reading a book, I remember very distinctly, walking down a Blackburn Street in mid-2006, and this book was called Surprised by the Power of the Holy Spirit by a guy called Jack Deere. Now, Jack Deere used to teach at Dallas Theological Seminary in the US. If you know anything about DTS, basically this college taught the Holy Spirit and His activity when it comes to the miraculous, when it comes to signs and wonders and healings and speaking in tongues and words of prophecy, etc. That all ended when the last apostle died. And now the Holy Spirit is really just speaking through the finished, revealed word of Scripture, and that's it. And Jack Deere held to this, taught this, and then he had a strange experience hearing from God. He heard God's voice. And he knew it wasn't him making it up. He knew it wasn't Satan or any other voice, because it was the kind of thing that God would say. It was a loving, gentle, gracious, true thing for God to say. But he couldn't compute it, because here he was, believing very firmly that this is the only way God speaks, and none of this Holy Spirit, miraculous signs and wonders stuff happens today anyway. So what did he do? He went to the thing he knew best, the Bible, to disprove his experience. And you know what he found? He discovered that his opinion on the Holy Spirit and how he works today was actually based not on the Bible, but on his experience. He'd had bad experiences and seen lots of different churches do it wrong, and he'd never heard the voice of God up until this recent experience. So he concluded, therefore, the Holy Spirit doesn't work like this. And then he realized that bitter irony. What kind of Bible teacher would he be if he let experience be his authority and not the Bible? So he read the Bible again in order to discover whom the Holy Spirit is and what God does. And you know what he found? All these men that he had based his life upon. Oh dear, Abraham heard the voice of God. Moses heard the voice of God. David heard the voice of God. And Jesus heard the voice of God. And so did Paul and Peter. In fact, it seems like this is the kind of thing the Holy Spirit does. Never in contradiction to his word. But indeed, if you actually read his word, you find that the Holy Spirit is very much at work in these ways. It changed his life, it changed my life too. Because I was walking down that Blackburn Street, I realized this is me. I'm exactly the same. Sure, I've had lots of negative experiences. And I'm using that to dictate to God what's true. Instead of actually reading the Bible, basing my truth on that, judging my experience by that. I suppose I had different eyes to see after that. 2006, I was in a church in St. Alfred's, Blackburn North, that was balanced and measured, and it had words of knowledge given in the corporate setting where people said they had a word from God, where speaking in tongues happened. It was all very calm, and it was all very measured, and it wasn't in this kind of wacko, crazy style that I'd seen and been kind of uncomfortable with. Next year, I went to work in a church in Diamond Creek, and I met Cain, who was troubled by evil spirits. He physically heard voices talk to him that were not God and that were in fact demonic, that were trying to distract him from God's truth and sowing him with lies. And I've been thinking about how the Holy Spirit works, and I read Mark 5, and this happens. Actually, that is how life really is. Jesus heals the guy who's a demoniac, who's cutting himself and mutilating himself, and no shackles can hold him down. And in Mark 5, you see Jesus heal this guy, and then what happens? Everyone finds him, and he is clothed, sitting down in his right mind. I prayed for Cain. I didn't really know what I was doing, and I certainly still had my questions, but I was trying to pray that God's Spirit would somehow overcome these evil spirits. That was 5 years ago. I saw him in November last year. And, it was like that demoniac, that ex-demoniac, was in front of me. Here Cain was, in his right mind, at peace, come to tell me that he thanked me and say, "You left before I really got a chance to say thank you. God healed me and worked powerfully through your prayers for me." More stuff started to happen. Even some of you were here last year in October, where I myself experienced the power of God and His Spirit on display. October 7th, I had no voice to preach. I got up here, having lost my voice that afternoon. A couple of people prayed for me. I had this kind of strange sensation that, yes, God would somehow enable me to speak. Didn't quite know how that would work, but believed that, okay, in the Bible He heals people, so maybe He'll heal me too, and then He did. And if you were here, you can testify. I was able to not speak quite as strongly as I am right now, but I was able to eke out a frequency that enabled me to be heard and communicated for 28 minutes, and then I lost my voice again. And I tried to talk to you after supper, and I couldn't because I lost my voice, and God got the glory for that because He's awesome, and He wanted to do that to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And so that, I should say, all this personal power of the Holy Spirit, this series, where we're going in the next 7 weeks, this isn't just a personal thing. This parish has been on a journey with this stuff too. God has been drawing different people from different backgrounds to us to help us learn, to help us grow, to agitate and challenge and push and stretch. Greg and I have had many long discussions about what it might look like to live and believe and practice the person and power of the Holy Spirit. We've had, he initiated prayer and praise nights. You've heard them advertised. Some of you have been there. where we have tried to reflect what the New Testament church is about when it talks of using spiritual gifts for the good of the body. I suppose all of this, I want to lead us to this point, just of making the very simple point that we need the Holy Spirit. We've got a chance in the next 7 to 8 weeks to ask some very, very cool questions. What might it mean for us to not just believe in the person and power of the Holy Spirit, but to practice that belief? As I said earlier, you might be suspicious, apprehensive, you might be excited and you want to run ahead to a 20-week series, you might be somewhere in the middle and not sure what you think. That's okay, really. It's okay. Use the box. Use other means of interacting with what we're hearing. But I just want to request that we all do one thing at the very least. Let's read the Bible together and find the truth from there. That's it. I want to reiterate just that very simple point about needing the Holy Spirit by looking at 1 Corinthians 12, the passage you heard read out. So please get that open in front of you. That's where we're going to be for a little bit. Corinthians 12:1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant, uninformed, another translation says. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian here tonight, you might not know it, but the Holy Spirit enabled you to become one. At some point, you said, Jesus is Lord. You submitted yourself to his lordship. You said he was master and king, no longer you. You took the crown off your own head. You switched drivers and passenger seats, whatever image you want to use. When you became a Christian, you said, Jesus is Lord. You know, it's the Holy Spirit who helped you do that. In fact, you can't say that except by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not about a certain church service with a style or preference. This is not about putting hands in the air, waving around like you just don't care. This isn't about being a kind of church that does things with a kind of emphasis. The Holy Spirit cannot be cornered and have a monopoly by one particular kind of church. Every single Christian, their salvation depends upon the power of the Holy Spirit. He cannot be ignored or made into an optional extra. But the other point to note in this is to figure out what is the Holy Spirit at work and what's just nonsense? What is the Holy Spirit at work and what's just distracting, distorting, awful stuff, masquerading as the Holy Spirit? This passage gives us a test. You read backwards what Paul is saying. You can't say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit enables the proclamation of Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord is the fruit of Holy Spirit activity. The declaration of Jesus' Lordship proves the evidence of proves the activity of the Holy Spirit. So, going back to my past, back to that Pentecostal Chinese church camp, you know, so much of that seemed odd to me. I know now why. Because it was the gifts that were being sought, not the giver. It was the height of the excitement of the moment that was being prized, not the name of Jesus being lifted high. I don't believe the Holy Spirit was really at work in aspects of that meeting. Because indeed, Jesus is Lord wasn't being proclaimed. The flip side of that, though, is we might see things or hear things that might seem odd or strange to us. Yet if we look at the fruit, if we see Jesus is Lord being proclaimed, we can see at least some evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit. This helps me get suspicious when I hear people talk about the Holy Spirit being poured out in a particular moment or the Spirit saying this thing or the Spirit falling upon this particular person, I get suspicious when the fruit of that is not Jesus is Lord. And the fruit instead is, this church is exciting. This pastor's got verve. This place is a happening place to be. Again, on the flip side, even if I have my concerns, even if it's not my kind of normal cup of tea, even if I am not familiar with a certain thing, if the proclamation is quite clearly Jesus' Lordship, I have to at least admit something of the Holy Spirit is at work. So that's really where I want to land tonight and leave it. But also give you a preview. Matt's going to put up on the screen what the next 7 weeks look like. Thanks, Matt. I gave you a look at this last week, but you'll have a bit more time just to sort of absorb it. We're certainly not going to cover the vastness of the Holy Spirit and His person and power in 7 weeks. But we're going to look at a bit. We're going to read and preach and understand and exposit 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 as our basic text, so that we can learn what the Bible actually says about who the Holy Spirit is, rather than let experience judge. Next week, as you can see, Acts 4 is our focus. I'm going to be talking about why we need the Acts of the Holy Spirit, meaning why we still need to believe in the book of Acts. That will help also talk about Word and Spirit. Some people say that there are some churches that are Word churches and some are Spirit churches. I'm going to argue that you can't divide the two, that they must be kept together. They always go together. Let's not ever make it a dichotomy. Let me pray before we close. Heavenly Father, I want to pray just for that ambulance, that siren. Pray that you will help whoever is in need there by your Spirit's power. And please help us in the coming weeks to be faithful to your word, to be fully biblical, not less, to lay down our experiences, good and bad, and to understand what the Holy Spirit does and says, how He acts. This is hard for us to do, Father. We are not immune from prejudice, from abuse and being hurt by different experiences where it's been done badly and the Holy Spirit has been abused. We are not immune from foggy thinking. All of us struggle with that from time to time. So Lord, by your powerful Spirit, please give us clarity and enlightenment. Over the coming weeks, help us not just believe right doctrine, but live it out too. We need you to lead us and guide us and direct us in the coming weeks. We do not want to do anything that will take away from the glory of Jesus Christ. We do not want to say anything that will distract people from the gospel of Jesus Christ. So please, by that same powerful Holy Spirit, help us learn about Him and live His power out. We pray this through the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.